Please extend a hand over our children. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are so good. And what Jesus has done for us, all of us, young and old, it is beyond measure. So we pray this morning that you would pour out all your love and your grace on these boys and girls as they go to worship you. May they know the indwelling grace and truth of your Holy Spirit as they seek you today. And we pray this knowing that you are a God of grace and love, indeed, beyond all measure. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this is what we've been talking about. We're going to spend a little time sharing, checking in, telling a God story. Where have you seen God lately? Where have you seen God in your life? So we need somebody to break the ice. That first person. So I'm wondering who has a word they want to share with the body today. Oh, here we go. Just say it in the mic so people like me who can't hear well.
My grandson. He's given me everything.
Now, your grandson is also there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That cutie down in the nursery, right?
Right. It's a real blessing for me. Since my stroke, I've had very little to really live for. But 3 days a week, I just get to watch him. And it's something to get up for every morning. And thank God, one more night above ground.
Now, you got some more good news, right? Didn't you just get a vehicle?
I did.
Isn't that a real blessing?
It's a blessing. It's hard on gas.
But, you know, after a stroke, being able to drive again and get around.
I've been really blessed almost 2 years since my stroke. It's a real miraculous recovery. Part of it's not going to come back for me, but the beautiful part is the fact that I get to see my daughter. I get to see my grandson. I'm watching him. He took 4 steps for me.
Well, Tom, we love you, and we rejoice with you. Amen? Isn't that great? All right. What's God doing in your life? What do you want to share? Sam.
I started I don't know if it's an art project necessarily, but it's just a little project where I've been writing a bunch of different poems of random kinds, and then I put them in envelopes and I write random addresses. Not random, people give me their addresses. But the poems are randomly selected as to who they go to. And so far I've had 3 different people message me back saying stuff like, "This was exactly what I needed to hear today." And that was crazy for me as a 20-year-old person with no wisdom necessarily that I felt I could share. But like people telling me that what I wrote meant something. And I know that wasn't of my own power. So, yeah.
Well, okay, can I preach a little bit now? This is exactly what we're talking about in our series. Everyday believers, right? You don't have to be some super Christian. Just be yourself. And look how the Spirit uses you. Samantha, that's just awesome. Awesome.
She's not here to celebrate with me today because we got home very, very late last night, but I wanted to be here today. Mary and I celebrated 25 years of wedded bliss.
This past week.
And just came back from a fabulous trip. Getting together with friends in Washington, D.C., and then spending a week in New York City, and we had a blast not having to be responsible for anyone else and had each other's undivided attention, and we recommitted to being able to do that at least once a month. Just how valuable that time together without making sure that everyone is fed and medicated and sleep on time and all that stuff. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, all right. Where else have you seen God lately? I'll have to say, last night there was a wedding. The Smileys aren't here today. Bridget and Matt got married in style, didn't they? Wasn't it a beautiful ceremony? So we got there's another newlywed couple over there. We got several couples that have just been married, and what a joy that was. Where have you seen God? What's on your heart? What do you want to share with the body here? Anyone else? Cam and Jenna. Oh, wait. Where did I miss it? Oh, Skip.
Well, Gordon and I have had the privilege of meeting with 8 young people on Sunday night as a follow-up to Alpha. And just having them come every Sunday, seeing their enthusiasm has been such an encouragement to us. And watching them grow is just a work of God's grace.
Yeah, that was our youth Alpha. We had a group that, and Hannah, you get some kudos for that too, because you kept the team together, and Skip and Gord have been hosting this group, and we hear wonderful things. What an exciting ministry. Oh, yep. Okay, we got our second wind here.
I just want to say that I've seen God in you guys. And I want to say, people using their gifts is the coolest thing. Gifts of hospitality. Gifts of hanging out with old people, if you're young. And just awesome things like that. So I say thank you if anyone here knows what I'm talking about. And I just say praise God.
Amen. Others? Oh, Stella.
For me, I seen God at work in my son. He did a testimony on Facebook. Some people seen it, some not, but it was about a brief, it's about his journey he's went over through the past year, and he is a living testimony. And praise God that next month on the 26th, he's cleared to have his reversal surgery. So that's
he's getting that ileostomy reversed.
Yes, he gets the ileostomy reversed. He actually was going to come today, but Gus Macker called him.
Oh, yeah.
So he's up. He's gotten so much stronger, and his connection and his faith in God has really, really gotten so much stronger that he does a little youth thing at Berean for basketball where they do devotionals. And this past week, 4 of his young men who were like really into the streets are now coming in to seek God.
Awesome.
That has been so amazing to see that transformation and how he is really, really going out into the world and, you know, trying to bring those that are outlaws and stuff, especially in our youth, because there's so many youth that are just going in different directions and making so poor choices. To see the ones that just gave in was just like, overwhelming. All I could do was cry for them and cry with them because I know their story, and to see how they have changed has been amazing.
Wow. Well, and for those of you who don't know, Stella's son Marcus Jr. was seriously sick unto death.
Yes.
Okay. They discovered he had lupus.
He had Schertz-Strauss syndrome, which is a vasculitis where it goes in and it starts killing your major organs.
Yeah, it was dying from the inside
yes.
out. It was so... We had a prayer time here. We prayed for his life.
Yes.
And now here he is doing ministry. And I want to put everybody on notice. The day Marcus walks in here, we're handing him the mic, okay? It's an automatic sharing Sunday because... what a great story. What a great story.
Many here know our daughter, Liz, who through college was here. After getting married last summer, she did a couple of false starts trying to find work that made sense for who she is. And after one where it became very clear that the leadership of the organization was doing sketchy things, she just realized, you know, this is not the right place for me. And in her frustration, she expressed to her husband, Adam, all I want to do is just make a good cup of coffee for people. She then realized that there was a coffee, they're living in Wheaton, Illinois right now. She realized there was a coffee shop that she had stopped in that was hiring. Well, it turns out that this coffee shop is directly linked with a ministry that is working to get women out of the sex trade and working with refugees. Liz's heart, really, is what it gets down to. She went in, met with the director slash owner of the coffee shop, director of the ministry. They got talking. Liz got the job. I mean, like, it wasn't even wait till the next day. It was basically, when can you start? It's been less than a month, and the owner has come to her and said, within a year, I want you managing the coffee side of this. So not only is our Liz making a good cup of coffee for people, but she's using her skills, her heart, her passion to do incredible work. So we're just very grateful for that.
Hey, happy for Liz. How beautiful.
Most of you know that Craig and I had moved away for 3 years out of state, and then moved back. And our first Sunday back here at MCC was Jim's first Sunday at MCC, and we kind of liked the idea of kicking it off with the new pastor. And I just, this church before we left was our church family, but now that we've come back, I brag about our church all the time. I am so thankful that we have Jim as our leader, and just his guidance and the value that he places on prayer, and it just means so much. Craig and I come from small families, and this body is really our family, and so you just all mean so much to us.
Amen.
Yeah, all right. what is on my mind about God working in ultimate ways? Yesterday, Mark and I, we got to see my dad. And he went through a lot of struggles. First off, I'm not going to tell you the whole story or I'd be here forever. But he fell from a tree, a rather large tree. And then he was in the hospital for a really long time. Really long time, back and forth. He lives around here, but he has another place in Arizona. And when he was in Arizona, they found out there's more stuff wrong with my dad. And I was freaked out because I didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Amazingly, he did. First time falling from a tree, transferred, like, he was okay. But anyways, we got to see my dad yesterday, and I haven't seen him in a long time. My kiddos haven't seen him in a long time, and it was exciting. And I saw the joy, and like, he was so happy, and it was so wonderful, and it was like to see my dad again, and everything. And the kids are like back into like seeing my dad, and you know, he'll be here for a while until he goes back to Arizona. But yeah, God's definitely working with them, and I am so thankful for that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
David.
Hey, so I work in the cafe at the hospital up the road, and I have, over the last week and a half, been folding little origami animals and putting them in high places and hiding them all around. So I've been trying to bring a little bit of a sparkle to a sometimes more somber place.
David, good for you, man. Good for you. Any others? Good stuff, huh? Reason to be grateful. Well, Cam and Jenna, you want to come forward and share with us about this amazing trip and work that you did this summer?
Morning, everybody. I'm Cam. This is Jenna. Probably most of you were here when we talked about the fact that we were going to go and shared about that. So we just want to thank you all for praying for us. And for those of you who supported us financially, the church did as well. And so we really appreciate that. That helped make it possible and profitable while we were there. Not profitable in a money sense, but in a spiritual sense. It's not like we reinvested your money and made a bunch on it or anything. This is getting weird. Okay, moving right along. Just to recap, South Sudan is having a civil war right now. There's a massive refugee crisis. Many of the people are fleeing to northern Uganda right across the border. And there's, as of the beginning of this year, there was over 1 million refugees in Uganda, which is usually a nightmare. But the Ugandans have responded in a miraculous way to this situation. The UN has said that it's the most progressive response to refugees that they've seen anywhere in the world. And the real key to that whole thing is that the Ugandans have opened up and given their land to the refugees. So they're not being penned into a camp that the government mandated that they had to get put in. But instead, the Ugandans are actually offering their own land. So it's a distinction that they make that these are refugee settlements, not refugee camps, because the people are actually settling there. They're building homes. They have some room to farm and have some livestock, and it's really amazing. And so really for me, the biggest thing from the whole trip was seeing that response and how different that is than a lot of what we see and a lot of the rhetoric we hear even in our own country. But the South Sudanese refugees, they're able to shop and sell their goods at the same markets that the Ugandans have. Their kids can go to the same schools. Feel like there's a few other things, but anyways, if you walked into one of these villages, it would look just like any of the other northern African or northern Ugandan villages in the same area. There's no fences, there's no armed guards. Granted, there's still problems, there's still difficulties, there's still some tribal tensions between people in these settlements, but overall it's been a miraculous situation. One of the key components of that has been a radio station that's operating in the area out of the town Adjumani, which is central to I think 5 or 6 of the refugee settlements, and they have been preaching the gospel, no holds barred gospel, and a message of peace and reconciliation, and they have just gotten consistent reports of stories of people's lives being changed, and this creating this sense in both the Ugandans and their choice to respond like this, as well as in the refugees themselves, and learning to live at peace with their neighbors and the people who might be in the same settlement as them that are from a different tribe that are fighting back in their home country. And so that's just really awesome. So our purpose of our trip was to go and spotlight that radio station. We went with a organization called Sunset Solutions that specializes in creating technology solutions for indigenous ministries all over the world. So they work with building water pumps, water monitoring systems, and a lot of radio equipment. So they helped equip this radio station with most of the transmitting equipment that they're using now. And so we just wanted to spotlight how much of an impact that has had. So we went there just to give you a quick bullet list of what we accomplished. We were able to install a new transmission line from the transmitter up the 200-foot tower, which we didn't do, but one of the guys, the technicians that went with us did. But that means that their transmissions are going to be much more reliable. There was a shoddy connection at the top because of the type of cable that had been used in the initial installation because it was what was available at the time. So now this new connection won't be able to get wiggled in the wind and cut the transmission in and out. So that's huge. Also, there was no grounding equipment in the tower. So if a lightning strike happened, then it'd just all get fried. And it's a miraculous thing that hadn't happened in the while that the radio station's been on air. So that all happened, so all the equipment is now safely grounded, so the lightning strikes won't happen. So that all happened the first day that we were actually in northern Uganda, so that was really awesome. And then the rest of the time, we met with refugees and interviewed them on video, and we got some B-roll of the area, and we interviewed the guy, the Ugandan who runs the radio station, and heard his story. And so all told, we interviewed 6 people. It went really well. We got to hear some really powerful stories from these refugees living in the settlements. And now Jenna's going to share some of her experience.
So, okay, before I get into my experience, how this first started was this organization called Cam and said, do you want to go to Africa? And does your wife want to come with you? And so Cam said, hey, Jenna, do you want to go to Africa? And I said, yes. Also, why? what are we going to do? So I was able to be there as a support system, make sure all the finances were all good and whatnot. And thinking about radio as maybe it's a millennial or a person that's in the U.S. that has TV and all this stuff, you think radio is kind of on the decline now. So I was like, okay, that's nice that they're going to, you know, do stuff for radio, you know, just maybe some sing-songy things, whatever. It wasn't until we were interviewing 2 women who had walked 9 kilometers each way to the radio station to ask if they had solar-powered radios. And that's how we got connected with them. And they said, sorry, we don't have any with us, but there's some Americans that are coming. Maybe they'll have some. So we got to go and interview them, and they were telling us their desire for these radios. And when you think of refugees, you tend to think, they need water. Yes, they do. They need food. Yes, they do. They need clean health. Yes, they do. But they also need mental health stability. And that's what these solar-powered radios were doing for them. That's why they could, you know, have their peace. And this one woman was sharing her story about, didn't necessarily how she lost her husband, but he's no longer with them and her family, and she's got a bunch of kids to take care of. And she said, at night, I can have this radio on, and they're just speaking in peace, and I can feel safe because I'm, you know, just praying to God, which was incredible. And she said that some of her food rations she'll have to sell off so that her kids can go to school, which was just absolutely incredible to me, just sitting there like, are you kidding? Like, what can I give you? Do you want, you know, my hand sanitizer? I don't know. but to be able to come back and share that story was empowering for us. And then at the end of every interview, we said, how can we pray for you? You know, what is on your heart that we can pray for you? And she said, well, there is a church here in town that we built out of mud. It's not like dry clay, so it rains a lot here in Uganda, and so it's raining away. So can you just pray for somebody to come and build a proper church for us so that we can pray every Sunday, and that, you know, it's tiny and we have like over 100 people and it might be the size of like this section. And really? That's what you, okay. I mean, yes, I will go and tell everybody. But anyway, so that is just like a little snippet into some of the experiences that we had. And that was so powerful for me to hear that this radio station was able to give them that peace and to help them work on their mental health, the actual root of the problem, in addition to all of the other necessities that they have. So that was powerful for me.
Yeah, and then just a couple other, a huge praise is that the government has seen the impact that this gospel preaching radio station has had in the settlements and is now 100% backing their ministry, even though it's a secular government and a fully Christian radio station, and they are making no restrictions on what message they can preach because of the effect that they see it having. Part of that is that the radio station is based on government property for the Prime Minister's Office of Refugee Resettlement, and the government is about to give them a building. Right now they're operating out of 2 like half-size shipping containers that have been converted into buildings, and they'll be moving into an actual building soon, hopefully. They just need some funding to help fit it as a studio so that it actually has soundproofing and things like that. So that's a huge praise that God has provided that way through this government, and that the government is even seeing how valuable preaching the gospel has been. Sunset Solutions, the organization we went with, they've designed and they have manufactured the solar-powered radios that they call Sunset Radios. That was one of what we handed to the lady that we met in the settlement. But they're trying to raise enough money for, I forget the number, I think it's like 10,000 radios or something like that, for 4 or 5 different areas that they know have a need and an ability to hand out that many. I totally forgot to bring the pamphlets I had about that. But if you're interested in just reading more about that and learning more about what they're doing with those solar-powered radios, come talk to me afterwards, and I'll figure out how we can get you one of those pamphlets. Now we actually have the rough cut of the video that we shot, or one of several that can be edited from the footage. This one focuses on the story of the guy who runs the radio station. His name is Martin. And again, it's a rough cut, so you know, have a little mercy. But you'll see some of the other people in the B-roll that we interviewed, and so you'll get to see some of that. But yeah, it really just focuses on his experience and his thoughts on how that's been. So I think it's ready to queue up and play now.
When the war in South Sudan broke, they had nowhere to run. And people here had no another thing to do than to accept them as brothers and sisters. They have started disagreeing, they have started fighting in the settlements. My name is Martin Okudi. I work in Adjumani District. Radio Salama started broadcasting on 24th of December 2014. I started when Dawn kept on sending for us church songs, including preachings, for example, from Rick Warren and a number of preachers. Our interest is to bring peace, but we should also let people know God. If I don't put God first and I'm going to reconcile with the community, sometimes it becomes difficult. We have started realizing that there are people who are part of us in the community. Actually, they got now so much interested because we became unique. We don't play moral songs, we don't advertise for alcoholic drinks. And now there are people who could call us on the radio to tell us that my life has changed because I was listening to the Word of God. I remember there's a young girl who could go and listen to the daily preaching of Rick Warren from a neighbor. She has rehearsed two Bible verses and she could preach off head without seeing anything from the Bible. And she's 3 years old girl. Every refugee household is interested in receiving a handset, which we could not provide because of financial challenges. This has motivated us a lot because you know the work you do is making people get attracted. There are people who knew God through our broadcast. Even me, I wasn't a believer.
We're so grateful and proud that you went out and did that. And we got to be a little bit of part of that. And yes, get that paperwork here. I think MCC would love to do a little something with solar power radios. Well, thanks all for a great morning. I want to say just a brief prayer. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful for all your kindnesses. And we've named just a few of them here this morning. Grandchildren, jobs, weddings, opportunities to serve. For the promise of your strength, for the hope of healing, for your amazing grace, for your forgiveness and freedom and mercy, for all these gifts, what can we do except respond with love? We love you. We love being called your sons and daughters. We love being your people here in the city, in North Monroe, MCC. We pray that you will keep using us, keep equipping us with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the presence of the Spirit, so that as ordinary as we are, the salt and light of the gospel will shine through, and people will rise up and see and experience the power of your love. Now, Lord, as we continue to worship, just speak to our hearts and minds. We're eager to hear all that you would say to us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, I think somebody's got to time me. I think I should have 8 minutes. 8 minutes. This might be the shortest sermon you ever hear me preach. I know one minister who writes a one-minute sermon. Maybe I'll try that one time. But I think what we've talked about here this morning fits. And so I don't want to neglect. We're in this study in the book of Acts. I want to read with you Acts 10. We're going to take a couple weeks to get through this chapter. It's a big chapter. But just a couple minutes before we go to the table. This is God's Word. Let's jump in. We're going to jump right to the scripture reading. Okay, Tom? At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius!" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, just think about this. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, the supreme missionary, we talked about that a while back, of all the roles the Holy Spirit plays, of all the things He does, supreme missionary is the first. And the Holy Spirit is gathering people into the new community of Jesus Christ. And at this point in the story, we have this, this is a radical turning point. No, Pentecost has arisen out of Jerusalem. It's reached Samaria, but now it's entering the Gentile world. I mean, this connection, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, right, the ultimate outsider, and Peter, the Jewish fisherman turned apostle, the ultimate insider, under normal circumstances, those two people don't normally connect, right? People like this don't go into the house of a person like Peter. They don't share. They don't listen to one another. They're on opposite ends of the street. But the gospel now is spreading and the Holy Spirit is working and he's bringing people together. But here's the big thing in this passage. Something is in the way. Something is in the way. And it's in Peter's heart, right? Peter! Peter has some heart work to do before he can fully enter into the next phase of the mission, right? It's not Cornelius that is facing the barrier here. It's Peter. Now, the barrier in Peter's heart is deeply rooted and theologically energized. And we're not going to go into it, of course, this morning, but it's what I would call the doctrine of clean and unclean. You know, if you read back in your Bible, maybe sometime we can do a study of this. Back in the Old Testament, there were all these laws for the Jewish people about what to touch and not touch, what to eat and not eat. Things, circumstances, and people were either clean or unclean. And this was so deeply rooted in the hearts and minds of Jewish people that for Peter, you know, he has to have this direct intervention from God, this vision from God to begin to reorient his mind and heart to the radical new community that God is building, right? This church of all tongues and all tribes and all people. Now, what I want to point out about this passage here is it really, and this is what makes it so poignant. In many ways, this is about how people of faith engage or not engage with their broader culture. One of the enduring questions for church people like you and like me, for anybody who sits in a place like this on Sunday morning, is how do we approach the broader culture? How do we engage the wider world? And let me tell you, there are a lot of choices out here. And this clean and unclean tradition that was embedded in Peter was being thoroughly and totally replaced. Okay? Let me describe what I think fits that clean and unclean tradition when it comes to the broader culture. It was what I think should be called a purity from the world. A purity from. And let me tell you, believers talk about this all the time. This purity from the wider world is, in our day and age, still being practiced widely. In fact, I think the average church has some thoughtful introspection to engage in to make sure that they're not too deeply rooted here. This purity from the world, that was what was being replaced. When that sheet comes down and God says, kill and eat, Peter can't imagine crossing that line, Kenny. And yet, what is it about? It's about a whole different way of thinking about what it means to be people of faith in the wider world. And here's what we're talking about today. Here's, I think, the huge shift that's happening in Peter's heart and in the church that we have to be attentive to. This purity from model is being set aside and it's being replaced with what, well, his name is James Hunter. James Hunter calls it faithful presence with. I think one of the most important words in that passage we just read is that the angel says, Peter, go with these men. Go with these Gentile men. Go with these outsiders. I mean, let's face it. We're not even sure what religion Cornelius was practicing. It probably wasn't Judaism, and it certainly wasn't Christianity. He was a devout man. He was a spiritual man. But think about that. This is a gentleman practicing some kind of hybrid world religion. No. What's Peter's job? It's to go with them. To be a faithful presence with. I mean, this passage is a powerful reminder of what Christ wants from His church, from MCC. He wants His church to be in the world, right? With the world. Not of the world, but in the world. You know, there's lots of other ways of thinking about church and culture. But I want us to hear this call to be faithfully present with the world. Now, I say that, and I hear my grandfather's voice, my grandfather. He would complain about preachers now and then, and he would say, oh, splendid generalities, splendid generalities. That's all that is. It sounds good, but what does it really mean? What does it really mean to be a faithful presence? And I'm going to give you a word this morning, and I think it's really significant. What does it mean for us to be faithfully present with? I think it means this, service. Service. All Peter had to do was serve Cornelius with the voice that he was given. Remember, we are given a voice as a church. It's the voice of the gospel. All Peter had to do was serve Cornelius in his household with the gifts that he had been given, the voice of the gospel, and his faithful presence with them. You know, if you've been around MCC at all, you know that when I get up in front of you, I talk a lot about prayer and evangelism, right? Prayer and evangelism. You know, almost to the point where I know some of you are wondering, is that all it is around? Is that all MCC is? Prayer and evangelism, prayer and evangelism, prayer and evangelism, prayer. Okay, let me explain something here. Think of it this way. I think of a church kind of as a baseball team, right? And we've got nine batters, right? You get nine and only nine. And so you got to set a batting order, right? You got to put people at the plate in order to play the game. Now let me ask you this. What do you think the average batting order, when a church sends somebody or sends itself to the plate, when the church does something, what does it tend to do? I'll tell you what it tends to do. It tends to do youth ministry, right? That's typically the leadoff batter for most churches, youth ministry. It tends to do, what else? Worship things. What do I got on my list here? Where do you think prayer and evangelism sit in the batting order of most churches today? On the bench! On the bench. And let me tell you what. And you know what this unwittingly does? This makes an inwardly focused church that leans more toward a purity from. See what we're doing? We're building this enclosed community because we're protecting ourselves from the world. When I talk about prayer and evangelism all the time, this is all that we're doing. We're putting prayer and evangelism back into the lineup where they belong. Prayer is the leadoff hitter of the church. You know, and I'll go down with the ship on that one, people. And evangelism, that's supposed to be number two. That's supposed to be our second batter, right? Prayer and evangelism first, because we're a mission church after all. We're supposed to reach people. I know a lot of churches can get away with ignoring that stuff. Guess who... Let me ask you this. Guess where service ends up in the lineup? Service bats cleanup, folks. Because I'll tell you, if you pray, if you do your outreach, I think probably worship what we're doing here is third. If you get those men on base and you get service to the plate, all of a sudden, you know what you see? You see people start to come home. you see Cornelius's and their families start to cross the plate. Okay. So don't be confused that it's all prayer and evangelism here at MCC. It's not. But it is first. That's our lineup. And I think that's what God wants. When I read this passage, when I think of who Peter is and all this change that he has to go through, that's what it's about. It's so that he, you know, prayer is certainly first for both of these men, right? And then they enter into this incredibly new community where they can serve one another. It's a beautiful picture, and it's a radical one. This passage, and we're going to read the rest of it next week, but you know what it's often referred to as? It's called the Gentile Pentecost. The Gentile Pentecost. We had Pentecost in Acts 2. Then we had the Samaritan Pentecost. The gospel goes to Samaria. And now we have the Gentile Pentecost. So my challenge to all of us is to keep doing what we talked about today. Keep finding ways to get solar radios in the hands of people, refugees in Africa. Keep finding ways to love one another and to care for one another and to pray for one another. Keep coming to Grasp on Tuesday nights. Keep writing out those prayer requests. I hope we have 50 people to pray for Tuesday night. And in the meantime, I think if we keep those first things first, we're going to be who God wants us to be here in North Monroe. I went over 8 minutes. Amen. Let's pray. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just as you moved the church to the world in Acts, move MCC to the world. Make us a faithful presence with the people of this city, of Grand Rapids, of North Monroe. Use us and our gifts and bring your kingdom, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever heard of the phrase, a table fit for a king? What does that mean? That means that you are probably going to be approaching a table of abundance, right? This table is the table fit by the king. Don't be deceived either. This too is a table of abundance. The bread and cup we share is the abundance of God's love, the abundance of His grace. Come to the table and eat. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you for the promise of your love, the assurance of your forgiveness, and the freedom of your mercy. We thank you that neither our past nor our present is too heavy for you to bear, too broken for you to heal, too wrong for you to right. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus, who for us won the victory, who for us paid the price, who by his death destroyed the power of sin and death, and who by his resurrection restored us to eternal life. In grateful joy, we thank you for the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.